time to take a look back at a monumental moment in time on the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Le'Veon Bell. You mentioned the freshman running back right. from Baker that they had last year, but I'm telling you, this Bell has got a chance to be special. You know, I think he's going to end up being the eventual starter in that backfield because he can do it all.
That was Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network back on August 19th. I don't know what his crystal ball is. Obviously, the guy knows running backs, but very happy to welcome into the Jack and Tom Show. Hello, Howard.
How you doing?
What did you see when you came to Michigan State's spring workout or the summer practice that made you think that he was the real deal and at number 24 would eventually be Michigan State's starting running back?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I saw from him immediately was his size. Obviously, he has outstanding size for a running back, and then watching him hit the hole. But really, the thing that truly stood out to me was the fact that he was able to pick up the blitz. Not just his guy sometimes, but he was also willing to chip and pick up some defensive linemen, and he didn't back down from any of that. And,
right.
You know, it's tough as a running back coming into the college system and having to worry about blocking, because most of the guys, they were true runners in high school and didn't have to be concerned with blocking that much. So that's one of the things that really stood out to me. But I have to tell you, Edwin Baker probably looked the best that I'd seen him look since he's been at Michigan State. He looked really quick, had outstanding balance.
Yes.
So, the coach is going to have some tough decisions to make, but they have a stable of running backs that they had to choose from, and it's going to be fun to watch those guys run.
Those are nice decisions to make. Our guest is Howard Griffith, former standout running back for the University of Illinois and commentator for the Big Ten Network. Some people have talked about different styles of backs and people that Le'Veon Bell reminds them of. Anyone jump out to you as the kind of back he could be in his Michigan State career?
Well, with the power that he has and his ability at the point of attack and the way he's built, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Lorenzo White. It's probably an unfair comparison right now at this stage because it's just been one game.
Right.
And there's a lot of football he's got to a lot of football and a lot of yards he has to rack up to catch up with the Whites, the Ducketts of the world, and even Javon Ringer. So, you know, but physically his size, you know, really continues to stand out. So somewhere between Duckett and a Lorenzo White, but if you're somewhere in the middle, I guess you'll be okay.
Someone said that looking at other Big Ten teams and players, that with his ability to catch the ball and the way he pass blocks, something that you noted when we talked last month, he reminds him a little of Anthony Thomas, played for Michigan.
You know what? That's good. That's good. Another great comparison. But you know, I think one of the tough things, and this is with trying to compare running backs because the styles are just so different.
Yeah.
And I'll switch gears right quickly and go to the NFL because a lot of times people will talk about, well, is this back better or that style of back? And each individual, their circumstances of how they got to where they were and the numbers that they put up are so different. Right. I mean, you look at a Walter Payton type, you know, obviously played on a championship team, but didn't nearly put up the numbers of Emmitt Smith. So does that make Emmitt better than Walter? Does that mean Walter's not as good as Jim Brown? So, I mean, you can go around and around with comparing running backs, and particularly in college, because you've got more guys to compare them to. But I think that he'll be able to carve his own niche out. I mean, the big key for him is he's got to be able to stay healthy. He looks like he has that ability. Doesn't have great breakaway speed. That's one thing we saw. He was caught from behind.
Right.
I gave him the business on that with the highlight. But, you know, that's part of the deal. I mean, when I'm going to put my name on you, you're going to say you're going to be one of the best guys out there, a potential starter. You know, you got to be able to also be able to take some of the ribbing that I'm going to give you as well. But, you know, I have a lot of fun, and it's going to be fun to watch him continue to develop as a back.
Right. Well, I don't know if he'll ever score 8 touchdowns in a game. I know one Big Ten back did that.
I hope not.
Can you tell us what that's like?
You know what? It was a lot of fun. I mean, really, when I look back at the game, and I've had a chance to see it, you know, I had 21 carries, a little over 200 yards. And I think most people would think that there were a lot of one-yard plunges because the reality is most people have never seen the game. I mean, the majority of the people that asked me about it hadn't seen it, and really you haven't seen highlights of it either because it's not up on YouTube. So maybe they'll figure out how to get it up on YouTube sometime this weekend, and people can see that they were a little bit more than just one-yard plunges. But I think there's some storylines behind it was the reason that I scored 8 touchdowns to begin with. The one being that we as a team didn't respect Southern Illinois, and that turned around and bit us right in the butt. I mean, they jumped up on us 21-7. And we had gone into right before halftime, we just got the offense going a little bit. And Coach McAvich wasn't at all too thrilled with the way we got started, so he continued to make us play, you know, the rest of the third quarter. And the numbers just kind of happened. I mean, believe me, I wasn't going out to try to break a record or set a record. Really, the coach on the other sideline, Coach Smith, had been a former Illinois assistant coach when I had gotten there, someone that I got to know well and really had a great appreciation for his football knowledge. So I wasn't, or the program wasn't trying to show him up. But once we got to 7, you know, I would say, hey, we don't need to do it anymore. It's fine with me. And Coach McAvich said, well, I mean, let's just give it one shot. If we get in the end zone, then so be it. You don't, it's over. You do, it's going to be over, and we're going to be done. And, you know, the 8th one we got in the end zone broke the record, and, you know, the rest, I guess, is history.
Well, you're going to be honored, and it is 20 years. Does it seem like 20 years to you?
Oh, when I look in the mirror, I guess it is, because I had hair back then, so I guess it has been 20 years.
What did John McAvich say to you at that point?
We were all so frustrated with the way we had performed that, yeah, the record was great, but I think we were looking at bigger things. We had Ohio State coming up in, you know, 2 weeks.
Right.
So we hadn't played well. I think we struggled a little bit in the non-conference schedule. So we needed to put a good performance together so that we could go out and feel good about ourselves. You know, there's a picture of Coach McAvich and I walking across after the end of the game to shake Coach Smith's hand, and you would never know what had just taken place in this game, because we both just have, you know, kind of frowns on our face, or you really can't tell. Now, the people that are around us are smiling and happy, but between Coach McAvich and I, you really couldn't tell from our emotions, what our emotions were from just looking at that picture.
Howard, have you gone back through the record book to see how many times that no Illinois back scored 8 touchdowns in a year?
I haven't. I haven't, because that would be depressing. It's much fun as it is to be in the books. You know, I pull for Illinois. I mean, there's no secret about it.
Sure.
And, you know, I have to be neutral. But people know, I think that, you know, I'm deep down, I'm pulling. I'm going to call it like I see it. But I'm pulling for Illinois, and this is a team that's, you know, really struggled.
Yeah.
Really, since before I got there, really trying to put back-to-back winning seasons together, back-to-back bowl games together, hasn't been done since, you know, I was there, 89 and 90. And, you know, as much as that feels great that you can hear your name and you can hear the teams that you were a part of, you know, ultimately it's frustrating because you want to walk around with your chest poked out and you want to be able to talk junk to your buddies that went to other schools, and,
right,
and you just can't get it done right now. So hopefully they'll be able to get it turned around.
Tough opener last week, had that lead on Missouri, and watched that disappear. I guess I still don't understand why that series is ending.
Well, I think the key for it all ultimately is, I think it comes down to being able to play home games. Now, whether it ever eventually ended up into a home-and-home series, where both universities, as far as from an economic standpoint, would really be able to take advantage of the game, I think they have to probably try to revisit that.
Okay.
The day of, you know, in this day and age where expenses are continuing to rise in athletics,
right?
You know, I think teams want those home games.
Yeah.
You know, they're very important. I think, you know, as we've talked about with the Big Ten eventually going to that nine-game schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to really affect the way some athletic departments really, you know, really go out and how they, you know, really schedule some non-conference games, because now you want those games at home.
Yeah.
You got to have them at home for your non-revenue sports.
Howard, with everything you saw in week one, you were one of the first guys who said that you thought Michigan State, if things went right, could have double-digit victories this season.
Mm-hmm.
Are you holding to that? Do you still think the Spartans could be the dark horse contender in this conference?
Without a doubt. You know, without a doubt. It's a matter of being able to keep the guys healthy, being able to play run defense and be able to run the ball. I think one thing, I think that the true fans, I shouldn't say true fans, but fans that go back a ways in the Big Ten football, understand if you don't run the ball, you're going to struggle a little bit. Now, when Purdue came into the league, they were the exception. Right. When they brought that high-flying offense in, I mean, it really gave them an advantage. But the reason that they needed that advantage, because they didn't have the guys up front in the trenches to really go out and compete
right.
with a lot of the other Big Ten schools. So you can't be upset about it. But I think if you don't play good run defense and be able to run the ball, you're going to struggle. And I find that if you're not running some sort of a two-back offense, you're really kind of leaving your defense kind of out in the wind when they have to, if they have to go against a Wisconsin or Iowa, if they have, you know, if they had to play a Michigan State, because it's about being able to pound the football. And I think Michigan State's committed to that without a doubt.
Right.
With Cousins, as smart as this kid is, he's going to be a future coach. We had a chance to interview him over the summer, and I was thoroughly impressed with the way he handled himself. And then to watch him on the football field, he's something special. So, you know, I think they have all the ingredients. The defense is going to continue to improve, particularly giving up the big play. I think that's got to be key for them as well. And this team can definitely be in some outstanding games and possibly win them as well.
Howard, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations again on your honor. The 20th anniversary of the 8-touchdown game for Howard Griffith. We'll be right back with more of the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.